Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, if you want to follow along in your Bibles. Otherwise, you can follow along up on the screen. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God.
If you are excited to be here, say amen.
Amen.
I'm excited that you're here. God is definitely good. God is definitely good. If you know that you are a spiritual being, say amen.
Amen.
If you really know that you're a spiritual being, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Life is happening. Life is definitely good. I'm glad that everybody could make it here. I want to take just a moment. There's a piece of paper that is on the aisle or in your pew. And if you could take a moment, we're going to take 3 minutes to fill these out and pass them to the inner aisle. This is for the directory for the congregation to have. We're going to get that process. Hello, Joanne. Take a few moments to do that. There may be some extra. If there's an extra, can you pass it to someone next to you or someone who does not have one? It'd be greatly appreciated. So we're going to take a moment to fill those out. And what this is we're going to have a directory that's going to have pictures and definitely we need your information so that we can keep track of you. This is going to be a better way that we can communicate with one another, having each other's phone number, the different addresses, and different things of that nature. So. Just wanted to take a few minutes to get that done. Got 3 minutes. All right, so fill those out and then pass those to the inner aisle. Pick those up later. Ron, I'll get all those for you. Basically, just fill those out and just keep them with you in the moment, and then after you fill those out, then just pass them to the inner aisle. We don't have to pick all those up at this specific moment. So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. It says, "Therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, but for they are your glory." Verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to the generations forever and ever. Amen. I think it's one of the things that I feel like as followers of Christ Jesus, one of the things that we don't tap into or utilize as much, or sometimes we just lose heart just a little bit, is the spirit that lies within us. We have the spirit of our holy God that is residing within us, and that's why we are a temple and a building of God for the church and in the church. And one of the things that I want us to be focusing on as we go through this lesson this morning is that we have the spirit of God within us and living in us. And that's something that we should definitely know and understand and definitely comprehend. And if you want to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man." And one of the things I want to really pay attention to and hone on and camp out right here is to be strengthened with power. What does that mean, to be strengthened with power? I had to sit there and think about that. What does it mean to be strengthened with power? And if you don't have your scripture, please get it and follow along in the scriptures, because that is definitely key. One of the things how we can define this is look in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Colossians 1, verse 5. What does it mean to be strengthened with his power? Colossians 1, verse 5 says, "Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth," which is the gospel. So one of the things, we heard something in the beginning. We heard about the truth of the gospel. We heard about this magnificent thing that is able to save our souls. And one of the things that this particular thing, how do we be strengthened in power? Well, this is a submission and obedience thing. We have to have this obedience. We have to have this submission under God. But it all began when we first heard something. Well, what did we hear? We heard the word of truth. What? That was the gospel. Verse 6 says, which has come to you as in all the world, also in constant bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you have heard of it." Again, back to that hearing. But then what happens with that hearing? He says, "and understood the grace of God." How? In truth. Sometimes we understand the grace of God based on what we are, based on our understanding. And based on our understanding is not going to get us very far, but he says based on the truth of the word, the truth of this matter. So we heard something. How are we strengthened? What does it mean to be strengthened with this power? It means that we are obedient. It means that we have heard something. We are submitting to God. And then verse 6 said, we understood something after we heard it. And we understood the grace of God. How? In truth. Verse 7 says, "just as you learned it from Epaphras and our beloved fellow bond servant, who is faithful servant of Christ Jesus." So how did we learn this? We learned this from a faithful servant who taught it to us, who brought the knowledge of God to us through the gospel. Then verse 9 says, "for this reason also, the day we heard of it, we have not stopped to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with something." What are they being filled with? Look at verse 9. It says, "you're being filled with the knowledge of his will." When we're filled with the knowledge, I want you to don't look at me. Look at this scripture. Look at these verses. Verse 9 says, "what are you being filled with?" You're being filled with the knowledge of his will. That's major. And if we're not being filled with the knowledge of his will, then we're not understanding the latter part of verse 9, and that's being having that all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Having that wisdom and understanding. And then we drop into verse 10, it says, "so that you will walk." Why does it matter that we have this knowledge? Because if you don't have this knowledge, you can't have the spiritual wisdom. If you don't have the spiritual wisdom, then how are we ever to walk in a worthy manner of the Lord to please him in all respects? Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. How? increasing in what? This knowledge. Well, what knowledge? Of the gospel. Of what gospel? The one we heard. How? In truth. That's it. Amen? He says that's how we grow in power. So when we sometimes we follow God on our understanding of what we think truth may be. But that totally isn't the case. We can't follow Christ Jesus based on our understanding, but we have to follow Christ Jesus on the spiritual wisdom, that understanding that we gain from the Word. Now go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. So why is it important, why is it so major that we be strengthened with this power through the Spirit in the inner man? Why is that important? What's the point, Quentin? Look at verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? Through faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's major. Because if we want Christ to dwell in our hearts, we have to be strengthened through power. His power and His Spirit. Because if we're not strengthened with His power and His Spirit, then guess what Spirit we're following? Let's keep it in context. We're following. Here's what Spirit we're following. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, and you are dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the principality of the power of the air, the Spirit, which is now working the sons of disobedience, among them too. All were formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So he says, that's what you were in before this moment. And he says, that's what we were strengthened by, the sons of disobedience, that evil spirit, that darkness, that spreads, that's in the world today. Back to chapter 3, verse 14. Verse 16, sorry. Chapter 3, verse 16. That we would be, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit. Why? Why is that important? It's important that we are strengthened by His Spirit. Why? So that we can have Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. And that's key. Now go to 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Why is it important? What is he trying to prove to us about this being strengthened in this power of the Spirit? What is he trying to tell us? He's saying, listen, you've got to have the knowledge. It all begins back at the basics. You've got to have the understanding. You've got to have this knowledge of the truth. You've got to have the knowledge of the gospel. You have to have the knowledge of the spiritual wisdom that we're supposed to be increasing in. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he says this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power... Again, that power, seeing his divine power, has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge. Again, there's that true knowledge he's talking about. That true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Verse 4, he says, for by these things he has granted to us in his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of this divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lusts. So he says you have got to have these qualities and this godliness, and then to receive his power and his might. And what is he talking about? He says all of this knowledge that we have to be growing in. Then go down to verse 5. He says, well, what qualities is he talking about? He says, for now... this very reason, also apply diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, your knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, he says, attain that love as well. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you never useless or unfruitful in the knowledge, again, that true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's a knowledge thing. We have faith, how? Based on our knowledge of who God is, not based on our own man-made, corrupt, lust, desires of the man, of our flesh. But he says, of the true knowledge of the gospel that we once heard before. And once we understood that, guess what we understood? we understood grace. Once we understood grace, then we understand that spiritual knowledge, that spiritual understanding that will take us further and further, and we will be increasing and increasing. And what does he say about these qualities that are increasing? Look at verse 9. He says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purifications from his former sins." Again, it's a knowledge thing. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we're doing, and we get so caught up in the flesh and our fleshly desires that we forget sometimes, and we revert back to what we know. How easy is it to revert back to what you know? It's easy. Trust me. Amen. If we have reverted back to our ways, at some point in this walk in Christ, say amen.
Amen.
We've all reverted back to it, right? We've all reverted back. And he says, if you have this knowledge, this understanding of God's grace, and you have this this divine power that has been granted to us, what does he say about it? He says, verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be all more diligent to make certain about his calling." His calling. Not my understanding of his calling, but his calling. And then look at the next word. "And choosing you." I didn't choose God. He chose me. And then I had the wisdom. And then I gained the knowledge. And then I understood the grace. And then I understood how the spiritual things that I needed to understand in order to grow so that I would not be useless. Because let's admit, if we revert back to what we know, what happens? We go back to our lusts. We forget the blessings of God. And let's keep the scripture. He says, "You've forgotten the purifications from your former sins." If you've forgotten the purification of your former sins, then what are you living in? Your sin. And we can't make it. We can't. Well, there's none of us in this room that can make it without God's grace that he's given us. That divine power. No one in this room can make it without. I thought you were raising your head, Kevin. I thought you said, "I can make it." I was like, "Oh, you can." Got you. So he says, but we have to. God, his calling, and he chose us. For as long as you are practicing these things, you will never stumble. Whew. Wouldn't that be nice? To never stumble. Think about what kind of life that is. To never stumble. And it's not saying we're not messing up, but when we are walking with God, you're not going to stumble. Because we are practicing. We are walking with him. Our lifestyle, we eat, we breathe the love of God. Isn't that beautiful? And it all comes from where? This knowledge of who he is. This spiritual wisdom and growing in it. Growing in the knowledge, the self-control, the perseverance, the godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, and increasing in these. Then it goes on to verse 11, says, "For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." That's sweet. That is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it all comes from the knowledge that God has given us through his Spirit and his power so that we can understand the riches and surpassing greatness that he has in his people. That's beautiful. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, "To be strengthened with his power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you be being rooted and grounded in love." Why is it important that Christ is dwelling in our hearts? Why? So that we can be, that's the only way we can be rooted and grounded in love. What other way can we be rooted and grounded in love? You can't be. Spiritually speaking, that what we once were rooted, again, back to Ephesians chapter 2, we once were rooted in the prince of the power of the air, in that spiritual realm that is working for the sons of disobedience. We were once planted in, we were once grounded in the lust of our flesh, indulging in our desires of the flesh and of the mind, by nature we were children of wrath. I mean, he says the flesh of the mind, of this mind, again, it's this knowledge thing, this knowledge he's talking about. So we once were grounded with the sins of disobedience, grounded in that wrath with the sins of disobedience. And then going back to chapter 3, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. It's important that we understand that Christ is dwelling in our heart based on the Spirit God has given us and the knowledge he allows us to understand. That he allows us to understand so that Christ can dwell in our hearts, being rooted and grounded in love. Why is it important that we are rooted and grounded in love? Because if we're not rooted or grounded in love, then we can never experience verse 18 of chapter 3, may be able, so that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, he says the width, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ who surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. He wants you to know how... I feel like the little kids. He wants you to know how big and how strong he is. He does. Because it's his strength by which we are saved. That's major. Remembering our purification of sin. Knowing that we have to walk and practice these things in the self-discipline and the love and the kindness and the perseverance and enduring these things. And as we endure these things, we will never be rendered useless. And that is why we are strengthened with his power and not that of our own. We are strengthened by his power, not of our mother or our father. Well, my mother and father, they used to be Christians, and that's where I might know. We are strengthened by God's power. And if we just follow that and understand that knowledge that he's given us, we are on our way. And we are in a relentless pursuit of God, of fellowship with the unbroken fellowship with God. And as we go through the days and the nights, and as we progress through this life, as long as we're sticking with the Father and his Spirit and being strengthened with his power, we're unstoppable. We're unstoppable. We are unstoppable. But he wants you to know these things. Go to John. Go to John. The Gospel of John. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. He says, sanctify, this is Jesus speaking, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. That's what we heard, that's what we understood, and by that we understood the grace of God. He says, verse 17, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I don't ask on behalf of these alone, but for these also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, I in you, that they also may be in us. That's a beautiful relationship. So that the world may believe that you sent me. When you drop down to verse 22, it says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. Mm. The glory which you have given, this is going to keep hold of verse 22, keep hold of that. He says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. Whew, God is good. Perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. God is if you don't notice it, but God is trying to tell us he loves us. He's telling us he has a relationship with us. He's telling us I love my people. Verse 24 says, Father, I desire that they also whom you've given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, Yet I have known you, and these have known you, have sent me, and I have made your name known to them. Has he not made his name known to us? He said he's made his name known to, known to them, and will make it known so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. That is unbroken fellowship with the Father. Now, so go back to verse 22 right there. He says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Man, I had a... It was there. I was in the zone. It was there. Now it's not there. Oh. Ephesians chapter 1. That's where it is. Ephesians chapter 1. So it says, he's given us his glory so that we could share in that glory. Then look at verse 14 of chapter 1. He says, who has given us a pledge of our inheritance with a view of the redemption of God's own possession, what to be a praise of his glory. That's what we are. We are to be a praise of his glory. And that's why he says, Christ says, glorify me so that they can receive your glory. Why? Because I want them to be the praise of my glory, and so that they understand the surpassing greatness, so that they understand all the spiritual wisdom, so that they understand that they have access to all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Next to who? Next to Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus do these blessings belong. So to finish out, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundant beyond all that we ask. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. Again, we are strengthened with his power, the power that is within us. We have to remember that. We have the power of God inside of us. And that same power that rose Jesus from the dead on the third day is the same power that lives in us, resides in us, and works in us so that we don't do any work on our own but in the work of God, because though that praise can go to him, because he is the salvation of our, he is our salvation. And then verse 21 says, to him be the glory in the church. He says, in the church, also those who are in Christ, Jesus to all generations forever and ever. To all generations. Because this wasn't written when I was born. I don't think it was written when any of us were. Any of us existed. So he says, to the generations forever and ever. That's you and I, people. Thanks be to God. We have that grace. Thanks be to God. We said it earlier. Every one of us in this room, even you, Mark, even you, Terrence, every one of us in this room is going to need the grace of God. Every one of us. But you have to have a knowledge of it. A true knowledge of it. Not based on your own understanding. And it's going to be hard to face that truth at times when we are not walking in that truth. That's a hard pill to swallow. Because the first thing we have to admit is we're wrong. The first thing we got to admit is I can't make it. God, I'm not good enough. That was a tough pill to swallow. I am not good enough, God. However, Titus... I told somebody I don't like jumping around the scriptures. I really don't, but today I have to. This is a cool verse. Go to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. There's times where sometimes we have to admit we're wrong, and it's like, you know, we want to glaze things over, and, you know, the grace of God covers me. I can do kind of what I want to do, because the grace of God is going to cover me. Well, the grace of God doesn't just cover anything. It just doesn't just cover whatever we want it to cover. But grace is going to do this for us. Here's what grace does, chapter 2 of Titus, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, amen, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, Verse 12, here's what it's going to do to us. Grace is going to instruct us to deny our ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So that's what grace is going to do. It's going to teach us and instruct us to deny godliness, worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak, exhort, reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. So what is this grace going to do? It doesn't just cover sin and everything's good. Grace is going to teach us something. Grace is going to instruct us to deny the things that derail us. It's going to teach us to deny all ungodliness, the worldliness, so that we can live beautifully as spiritual beings in Christ Jesus. And that's the beauty of having this knowledge. Is it not beautiful to have the spiritual knowledge in Christ Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
It's beautiful because it's going to lead us out of that dysfunction. Some of us in this room, I know I'm one of them, but I got some dysfunction in my family. Oh boy. Got some dysfunction. But Christ Jesus leads you out of dysfunction and leads you in to the Spirit so that we have this peace, that we can live this peace and this understanding, this knowledge of his grace that's going to take us in to eternity with him. If you haven't been living sensibly, if you haven't been living according to the spiritual realm, if you haven't been living according to the Word of God, the gospel of the truth, then we have to go back to that. We have to go back and understand that we have to accept something. We have to accept that we are spiritual beings in Christ Jesus and that we are to be in Christ Jesus so that we can learn and grow and be increasing in these qualities that we mentioned earlier. We've got to be increasing in these qualities. And if we continue to increase in these qualities, we'll never be rendered useless. So again, if you have a need this morning, you want to come forward, you want to sing God's praises, if you want to come forward and you want to ask for forgiveness, maybe you've been living in sin publicly and you have been making the church in which God owns, putting it to shame. Now is that time. If you just need uplifted, if you need a hug, I'm here. We're here. We're family. If you need anything right now, the song of encouragement will be sung as we sing.